around her like wilting skyscrapers. Row upon row of terminals. Miles of cable, copper, computational capacity. A trillion calculations per second required to keep this tear, this rip, this silently screaming mouth in the universe's face in check. The computer is impressive in scale, but ultimately a mere calculator. No real intelligence within it. No thought. No creativity. No soul. Error. Around it, the Heimdall engineers are gathered, slaving away at gunpoint. And within the computer's innards, a spreading cancer, a self-replicating corruption, a bebop mutiny of bass and drum and oscillating frequency, inane quasi-poetry glorifying a pointless act of intimacy, ones and zeros colliding. Falk looks to Mercury.
Wormhole sit rep.
We've partitioned the software and databases corrupted by the blue malware. Mirrored what we couldn't outright reformat. It's a running battle. This virus is f***ing top tier. The tech guys at Blue's record label should be on our payroll.
And the interchange?
Still needs work. Ballpark never finished the fuel exchange. And we've still got 4 live hermium rods floating around out there. Which we do not want anywhere near the wormhole when we bring it online.
Mercury's voice grows smaller, shrinking on itself.
Not to mention Gabe.
I'll retrieve Ballpark and the fuel rods. You complete the interchange maintenance.
Sir, yes, sir.
Falk turns to his dull-eyed private.
Two-time, you stay here and watch our friends. If one of them so much as looks at you cock-eyed, execute the man sitting next to him.
The engineers glance at each other, fear staining the underarms of their coveralls. Antonio hefts his rifle.
Sir! Yes, sir!
Falk and Silva march to a subsidiary airlock beneath the engineering sector's skin, wheeling a heavily insulated trolley with 4 live hermium rods between them. The pair buckle themselves into actuator-assisted loading suits, 3.5 meters tall, all whining servos and hissing pistons. Close the airlock behind them, open the seal before them, and slip, like sharks, out into the black. Mercury works methodically at the interchange, handling the hermium with the wide-eyed care of a mother with a newborn babe. But every now and then, she glances over her shoulder at her silent teammate. That empty ballpark, orbiting Heimdall's dull gravity. Falk guides his AAL through the void with practiced ease. Short bursts of pressurized oxygen providing thrust amid all that nothing. He skirts Heimdall's constantly rotating skin, searching for the abandoned hermium rods from Ballpark's failed mission. He locates 3 in quick succession.
Mercury, this is Cerberus. You're certain Ballpark had 4 hermium rods for the exchange?
Yes, sir. I helped him load them myself.
I can only locate 3.
That's not good.
Explain.
Sir, processed hermium is extremely volatile. These fuel rods actually contain only 6 atoms of the stuff. The energy output of a single particle is off the Rosenstein scale. The rods are shielded, but if one of them were near the wormhole horizon when we activate it...
Yes?
Hell, I don't even know what'd happen. There's all kinds of spook stories from when humanity first started traversing wormholes. whole stations disappearing, reappearing years later. Geodesic distortion, continuum multiplicity, dimensional displacement. This is serious shit, Travis.
Can't we scan for the missing rod? Do the particles have energy signatures?
No. The rods are shielded, like I said. If they weren't, we'd all be dead.
Well, much as I'd love to fumble about here in the dark all day, I have several other storms brewing, all just as problematic as this one. Is it possible the fourth rod drifted off?
It's possible. Particularly if Ballpark was holding it when whatever happened, happened.
I think it's time we got to the bottom of that mystery. You have the interchange in hand?
Yes, sir. I'll be another hour or so, but it's under control.
Roger that. Keep at it. Sing if you need assistance, and keep an eye out for that fourth rod. I'm going to recover Ballpark.
Copy that.
Falk jets toward Private Moreno, hanging silent and still off Heimdall's endless shoulder. He peers through the plasteel visor at the private's face, sees the lacerations around eyes and lips. Moreno is still breathing, pupils fixed and dilated. Falk is not smiling anymore. Body in tow, he proceeds back to the engineering sector airlock, cycles his way through, fresh oxygen hissing through the vents as gravity takes hold. He unbuckles himself from the AAL, steps down onto the deck.
Mercury, what did Ballpark say before you lost comms?
Just gibberish. Something about an angel in his suit? A black angel.
An angel.
Falk is scowling. His pistol is drawn. Instinct tensing his frame, clenching his jaw. Wrong. This is wrong. Moreno is on his back, sealed inside the AAL. Empty eyes fixed on the ceiling. Pale skin, and fresh scabs, and a slick of drool at his chin. Falk steps closer to the body, soft breath hissing through his teeth. Lexi blue, echoing in some distant corridor, alert lighting spinning overhead. He leans closer to the visor over Moreno's face, taps his pistol against the plasteel. And out of the shadows of the suit's confines, it strikes. Falk fires, pistol bucking as he empties shot after shot after shot into the faceplate of Moreno's suit. The thing, coiled beyond the shattering visor, thrashes, screams, splattered across the floor and up the walls, twitching in a pool of its own viscera and slime. Its slime. Falk staggers back, blinking hard in the vapor escaping from Moreno's ruptured suit, slapping at the airlock controls, stumbling into the corridor beyond and sealing the bay behind him. But still, he has a lungful, and his smile has returned. He staggers away, shaking his head in a vain attempt to clear it. A warm trickle of tetraphenytrithylamine in his system. From a single breath, a chemical wetting in his head. He slides down the wall, senseless. 10 minutes pass before he is straight enough to realize. And as clarity returns at last, he sees DeGraff and Charlie Squad, the reactor. It makes sense now.
Callie, this is Cerberus.
Cerberus, Callie.
I copy.
Fleur, we have problems.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Nicholas Malikov, civilian. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Ella Malikova, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 13-10 hours.
Hannah D. Any of you cool kids into sports?
Pouchuk. LOL.
Nick M. Sabres for life.
I got Chief Grant here. He's most anxious to know if anyone got the final score on the Knights and Sabres game before, you know, our home was invaded. He's feeling better.
Sabres were up 48-24 last I heard. One quarter to go, but Palermo had two yellow flags and Suzuki was in the PB, so the Kepler boys are almost SOL.
Can we please skip the play-by-play and talk about our friendly local invaders and WTF we going to do about them? Okay, thanks.
Yeah,
sounds like he's a Knights guy anyway. Best to move on. So, good news is the Chief says it's very hard to fix a wormhole. Not very hard to break one. Trick is breaking it so we can fix it again later, because he's hoping pretty hard some of his family might be on the Carenza side. He says he can talk us through it. He def can't join in, he's not mobile. Miracle he made it to me.
Breaking stuff. This I can do. What's the plan?
Breaking stuff is you and me, Nick. Ella, your job is communications. Chief Grant might be able to help with that. Suggest some places you can look for access. We need a mayday going out to the core and a warning going the other way to Carenza.
They got outbound comms locked up tight. Going in on the creep is going to take way too long, so I'm going to have to battering ram it. Though getting something through to Carenza is going to be way easier than out to the core.
So I presume I got to get out of the dock somehow? Don't tell me we have to get to CNC. That place is crawling with goons, right?
You and I have to get to the reactor. We're going to have to do it hands-on. Chief's writing instructions for me.
Nick loves working with his hands. Shovels, especially.
Bite me.
Rawr.
Pretty sure he was hoping for me there, Ella.
So much gag. I cannot work under these conditions.
I got access to the ships at the docks. Maybe I could jack a shuttle and fly to the reactor. Crawling around in these vents is going to take me forever. You got any wings over there, Highness?
Nothing. It's vents all the way for me. I'm getting pretty good at it. It'll take a long time, though. Me and my instructions should get moving. Ella, you got questions for the Chief on the comm stuff before I leave him? I can give him my earpiece so he can hear the BT squad and talk to Nick in an emergency, though they'll hear it, but no way to talk to you once me and my palm pad leave him.
I just sent you a list. They'll have scrubbed his ID, but Chief of Engineering will still know ways to white ant the system, so give him 10 minutes for the Q&A before you leave him. And if Nick and he work out a frequency between them, chances of the BT goons listening in are pretty slim.
Roger that. Tell him 48-24. Losing score for his beloved Knights.
Oh, you big meanie.
Damn. But it feels good to have a plan.
This strange sensation. I think I'm smiling.
So, I have a question.
Well, Ella, when a mommy and a daddy love each other very much...
There will not be a practical demonstration of this class.
Uh-huh. So, look, we mess up the reactor just enough to delay them. Chill. But once these f***s figure out their fleet isn't going to get through to Polax the Hypatia, they're going to stop throwing good-ish after bad and just blow the station and everything on it. Now, sure, that leaves the people on Hypatia and Carenza alive, and that could cause headaches down the way, but it's better than the Hypatia making it through or them being caught with paws in the Heimdall cookie jar when regular traffic tries to come back. And we, my little chickadees, will be dead.
God, you're such a downer, Ella.
She's right, though. There's no advantage we have here. All we can do is keep the game running long enough that we see a chance to score. If we can get the wormhole down, they're going to play the game longer, because they'd rather wipe out the Hypatia and know they did the whole job. Maybe while they're trying to get it done, we can work out how to stop them blowing up Heimdall. I, for one, still have quite the to-do list for I Am Young and Gorgeous.
Yeah, okay. Once I get Nick in a shuttle, comms is my priority. Least I can do is get a call out to someone before they vaporize us.
Downer!
Insert obscene finger gesture here. Blondie, get the Chivarino that Q&A ASAP. I'll start carving Nick a path to the docks. Gonna take time. Closest shuttle is Bay 24, cuz.
On it. Be careful, all.
Giving him the palm pad now. Good luck, Ella. Nick, I'll see you soon.
I'll dress sexy.
Seriously, someone fucking kill me.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Security cam footage opens in Bay 24 of the Heimdall docking sector. The cams in Heimdall C&C were still showing a looped file of an empty bay courtesy of Ella Malikova. But we've got the legit data here. I'm going to splice the video transcript with the chat logs from Nick Malikov's palm pad. Yes, he was typing on the run, so his spelling is ufgd. See what I did there? The bay is typical, big and dark and stocked with freight, dimly lit by pinprick spotlights. 5 loader suits against one wall, all in power saver mode. Malikov pops the grill off the air vents over by the suits, swings down to hang by his fingertips. He tries to drop onto the shoulder of one of the suits, but he mistimes the jump, flails wildly, then falls 3 meters to the floor. Super Turbo Awesome Team member, he ain't.
Pauchuk. So much, LOL.
Nick M. Fuck you, that hurt.
I'm sure her ladyship will kiss it better.
Have I told you lately how much I hate you?
Hey, watch me haiku. Sweet cuz speaks of hate. Though his heart knows only wov, snow falls on cedars. Bam.
Oh, God, shut up.
I'm not sure if wov counts as one syllable. Line ball, though, so fuck it.
Shut up.
Okay.
Malikov creeps across the bay, squinting in the gloom. His jacket is back in the bathroom with Juggler's cooling corpse, and he still hasn't found the envirosuit he needs. So he is down to a tight tee that shows off all his prison ink, black cargoes, and heavy boots. His cleaver is strapped to his leg. Juggler's stolen pistol is up and out. The thing weighs a lot more than his old piece, but the silverback hits hard enough to punch through that BT tactical armor. Maybe. He makes his way to the airlock, crouches in the shadow of the docking system hardware. The computer is fully locked down. Red lights across the board.
Okay, I'm here.
I know. Sync your palm pad to the dock comp.
Done. How long this gonna take?
Cascade's already running. Patience, cuz mine.
You sure this is gonna work?
I would bet your life on it.
Whew.
Relax. Cams are still under my thumbs, and once I got the dot comp isolated from the main grid, I can have my wicked way with it in peace. Just stay chill.
Malikov lights one of his last cigarettes and begins pacing in front of the dot comp. Meanwhile, elsewhere on Heimdall, Hannah Donnelly's crawling through the vents toward the reactor sector. At least she has something non-carcinogenic to keep her busy. 82 minutes later, diodes on the HUD flutter from red to green, and the viewport in the airlock opens wide. Malikov can see the umbilical walkway of the grand old ship Betty Boop waiting beyond the bay doors. She's an inline helix tug, used for short hauls out to ships too big to dock at Heimdall proper, or to tow damaged craft in for repairs. She's slow and clumsy, and looks kinda like a bulldog who ate a trash can. But she'll get Nicky Poos where he needs to go, and she's small enough she probably won't show up on sensors if Malikov skims close to the station's skin.
This is taking too long.
It'll take even longer if I have to stop every 3 seconds and talk to you.
Ella, seriously, I'm gonna need dentures soon.
Relax, have a smoke, God.
I had 3 already.
Look, after I pulled that shit with the air vents, their deckers are on full alert. They know I'm back in the grid and they're hunting for me. I can't just brute force this thing. They'll be all over me like white on extremely fabulous rice. Now shut up. This is harder than I thought.
Am I distracting you?
Yes, shut up.
What if I sing to you?
Shut up, goddammit!
Aha! All caps! All caps! How does it feel, bitch?
Malikov does this weird little dance and punches the air just as a heavy clunk resounds around the bay and the sirens start blaring. Panic bleaching his features, he glances up at the flashing red globes around the airlock before turning back to the palm pad.
Shit, is that bad?
I told you not to distract me! Ugh! They rigged the fucking quarantine alarms, had him snitching to a redundancy in case someone tried to jump ship, and you made me miss it, you asshole!
So's...
They coming. Two of them close by. Already in the elevators.
Can you get the airlock open?
Trying. I said that already. Give me 3 minutes.
Malakoff scans the bay, scrambles for cover behind a shipping container. He checks his mag just as the elevator doors ping open, and the chorus of Lollipop accompanies four concussion grenades into the bay. They burst in quick succession, overloading the compensators on the set cams. Audio track is squealing, static, followed by full-auto gunfire, heavy caliber. The blasts echo around the chamber, thunder rolling off the walls. When the cams recover, I can see the air vents have been cut to pieces, and the AAL suits are all for the recyc. Looks like the audit team is learning from past mistakes. Good thing Malakoff didn't decide to repeat history. The BT goons are Jihoon, Flipside, Park, and Ragman. The two pilots assigned to Falk's crew. Ragman is missing his eyebrows courtesy of the Donnelly Grant Sugarbomb episode, and his skin is looking slightly charbroiled. Both are wearing sealed helmets and breather rigs over their tactical armor. Review of SEC footage shows that the men were following Falk's orders in Bay 21, rigging explosives on the airlocks and drive systems of the Talisman, a midway ice freighter from the Sane system. Fortunately, they hadn't reached Bay 24 to rig the boop yet, but Bay 21 was close by, which meant they were first on scene when the alarm began screaming. For all they knew, this was the same hostile that X'd out Beta Squad and took Ragman's eyebrows. It could have also been Grant, the MIA chief Falk wanted alive. But with the amount of killing their team had seen since they arrived, they were taking zero chances. Nikki's still hiding as they arrive, breathing quick. As the BT goons prowl deeper into the bay, Ella arcs up the fire extinguishers. Ceiling vents spray potassium bicarbonate fog into the air, cutting visibility to maybe 4 meters, though the laser sights and the VK rifles still give away Flipside and Ragman's position. The little spider finally cracks the airlock, and the rumble of heavy doors echoes through the bay. The goon squad train their weapons on the sound and steal toward it, and with their backs turned, Nick rises from cover and aims his pistol at Flipside's head. Malakoff knows these guys will deep-six him the first chance they get. They X'd out his friends, his uncle, tried to X him and Donnelly too. But he's hesitating. His fingers are drumming the grip, not squeezing the trigger. Maybe he's thinking of Juggler, head blown off in that toilet. Maybe he's thinking of Oksana Balashova, his brother Eric, any of them. All of them? He glances at the palm pad dangling from his belt, blinking the sweat from his eyes.
Do it. They cashed out Soraya, Double G, Little Ivan. Nick, they killed my fucking dad. Shoot them.
It's true, what the little spider's saying. Every word. But Malakoff can't take the shot. Teeth gritted, breathing curses, he can't do it. Given the choice, he can't pull that trigger. Sadly, the BT goons don't leave him much choice. Maybe it's the sound of Malakoff's labored breathing. Maybe it's just training or instinct. But at that moment, something makes Ragman glance behind to check his six. Through the mist of KHCO3, the pilot catches sight of the kid and his pistol, opens his mouth to yell warning, and finally, Malakoff fires. Say what you will about his stones, the kid's a crack shot. Tracking a moving target through a sea of chemical fog, Malakoff's bullet still punches clean through Flipside's helmet behind the left ear, drops him like an anvil before he knows what hit him. Ragman wears a thin spray of his co-pilot's blood, lifting his rifle and unloading a strobing burst into Nick's cover as the kid empties his clip. 6 of 7 shots hit Ragman's center mass, snapping the support strap on his VK and sending the rifle skittering along the bay floor. The man stumbles back into a freightainer, slithers to the deck in a pool of red. In the silence following, Malakoff loads another clip with trembling hands, leaves his cover with the weapon still trained on the goons, gasping for breath. "Fuck," he whispers. "Fuck me." He kneels by Flipside's body, peeks inside the satchel on his back. Rations, water, explosives, detonators, jackpot. He unbuckles the pack, struggles to pull it off the corpse's shoulders, and as he's slinging it onto his back, Ragman gasps and opens his eyes. The man drags in a rattling breath through what sounds like a punctured lung. Malakoff's shot hit him dead center, where his body armor was thickest, and the plasteel and Kevlar have absorbed the worst of it. Broken ribs, perforated sternum maybe, but he's alive, and he's fumbling for his pistol. Malakoff raises his own gun, trains it on Ragman's head. "Stop! Don't fucking move, chum!" Ragman coughs, spits blood, takes hold of the grip. "I mean it," Malakoff warns. "Don't pull that piece, fucker!" Maybe it's the shakes in Malakoff's hand that made him do it. Maybe it's the death of his squaddies and the thirst for revenge. Maybe he's punch drunk from the shock. Or just unconvinced this kid has what it takes to look a man in the eyes as he pulls the trigger. I don't know. Won't ever know. Ragman pulls his pistol, raises it toward Malakoff. "Don't!" Malakoff roars. The shot booms around the bay, spatters the tainer behind the pilot in red and grey. Malakoff hangs frozen, arm extended. If it weren't for his gasping, I'd swear the file had glitched. He just crouches there, not moving, not speaking, until finally the elevator doors close and the car begins ascending. Ragman's comset whispers in the dark. "Ragman, this is Callie, inbound, copy?" "Ragman, Callie, sit rep, over?" More audit team members are on the way. That shakes the kid awake, sure and true. 13 seconds later, Malakoff's running on unsteady legs across the deck and through the airlock. He stabs the controls with bloody fingers, seals the umbilical behind him, and bundles into the Betty Boop. Drops the palm pad onto the pilot's seat beside him, underneath a dead man's satchel and a still warm pistol. The palm pad screen is flooded with pings.
"Cuz, you okay? It was you or them. Nick, you did the right thing. Cuz, talk to me."
Malakoff's pale, drawn, eyes a million miles away. He doesn't even notice the constant pinging of the palm pad. He certainly doesn't notice the slight auto-correction undertaken by the Boop's flight computer, compensating for excess mass on the shuttle's starboard side. Doesn't notice the dull clunk of metal on metal beneath the Boop's secondary thrusters as he punts slowly out into the black. Doesn't notice the live hermium fuel rod lodged in the intakes under the Boop's wing.
She crawls. She stretches herself flat and wriggles her way through impossible gaps, and makes herself small when the gaps are small, and squeezes herself through ventilation shafts made for nothing but the passage of air. Once or twice, she lowers herself down into a hallway and runs along it on cat-like silent feet, her gun in her hand and her heart in her mouth, her every sense alert for the noise that might signal her end. And then she climbs back up into the vents once more, and again she crawls. Sometimes she is on hands and knees with her gun stuck in the front of her suit, and sometimes she is on elbows and thighs. And for one long hour, she is on her belly, with her arms stretched out in front of her, so she can claw at the unforgiving surface with her fingers and pull herself along. And she is stubborn and moves even when it seems she cannot. But sometimes, as she crawls along, she cries slow, fat tears, and other times she looks at her palm pad, and other times she closes her eyes and meditates or wishes or simply grieves. But always, always, she crawls.
Radio Transmission BATEC Audit Team, Secure Channel 642. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander. Bianca Mercury Silva, Corporal, Engineer. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 15:06 hours.
Cerberus, this is Mercury. Over.
Mercury, Cerberus, I read.
I have a question. One of highest import.
I await it with bated breath.
Who's your mommy, baby?
Mercury. I have at least 4 local hostiles loose aboard this station. Of my 24 original team members, 12 are either dead or wounded. I have a voice of the goddamn resistance opening air vents and letting my neatly partitioned cities out into the wild. A Shinobi-class drone fleet mere hours away. An inbound ship carrying living, breathing evidence of an atrocity on a scale not seen since the Cordoba incursion, which was committed by the very company that pays my fucking mortgage. And best of all, a possible infestation of hostile, parasitic alien life forms in the motherfucking reactor area. If ever under God there was a time not to fuck with me, now is it.
Maintenance in engineering is complete. The system is green lights across the board, and we're ready to commence testing the wormhole on your order. Who's your mommy, Travis?
I...
Say it. Who's your mommy, wommy, travy, wavy?
You are my mommy, Bianca. Thy bountiful loins are the wellspring from whence I flow.
My bountiful loins aren't really your business anymore, big boy.
You started it.
Made you smile, though, right? So, you want me to begin testing this rip in the fabric of the universe or not?
Yes, thank you, Corporal Silva. That would be lovely.
Roger that. Mercury out.
Alert all stations. Alert all stations. Introversal umbilicus initiation sequence commencing. Heimdall wormhole. Destination Carenza 101421. Will be online in T-minus 180 seconds. Please report to your appropriate...
Radio Transmission BATEC Audit Team, Secure Channel 901. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander. Fleur Callie Russo, Sergeant, Alpha Squad Leader. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 15:09 hours.
Cerberus, this is Callie. Code red. Cerberus, Callie, repeat. Code red.
Callie, Cerberus, tell me your woes.
Security breach in the docks, Bay 24.
Sit rep.
Flipside and Ragman are flatline, and a shuttle is missing. Betty Boop, short haul tugboat, ident HM091.
God f***ing damn it.
Switching to secure channel 642. Radio Transmission BATEC Audit Team, Secure Channel 642. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander. Bianca Mercury Silva, Corporal, engineer. Date 08-16-75. Timestamp 15:09 hours.
Mercury, this is Cerberus. Over. B, we have a local civvy loose in a shuttle out there. Abort wormhole test now. Over. Repeat, test, abort.
Cerberus, Mercury, I read you. Aborting test now. Over.
Mercury, we have an unrestrained hostile out there. Abort now. This is a direct order.
Christ. Travis, we can't. System has locked us out. This fucking malware is...
I thought you said you had that under control.
We did. This thing's like a case of the fucking scratch. It just keeps coming back.
Jesus wept. What the hell happens if some cowboy is out there in a shuttle when this goddamn hole in the universe opens up?
Well, nothing, really. Nothing bad, anyways. The wormhole is supposed to transport ships from one system to another. Worst case scenario for us right now, he traverses the bridge to Carenza. No big panic. I mean, we're basically opening a tear in reality here. If things went really brown, we could all be ripped into another fucking universe, Travis. Or our entire universe could...
So you're saying this hostile could be transported to the Carenza system? He could warn the Hypatia, blow this entire fucking operation. This is your idea of nothing bad happening?
Yeah, okay. Good point. Well made.
Briefing note. Video journal from Ella Malikova.
Video journal transcription prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
Again, footage for this entire journal is a locked-off shot of Ella Malikova speaking directly to the camera. Looks like she's running on zero downtime, dark shadows under red-rimmed eyes, bleach-white skin and a veritable tower of empty Mount Rushmore energy drink cans, now with 20% more dexedrine, piled around her terminal. I guess she figures she can sleep when she's dead. Despite the O2 mask over her face, Ella's talking so quickly it's hard to understand her. I try to punctuate where appropriate, but honestly, this kid doesn't believe in it. Journal begins.
Hey Zoe, miss you bad. Monster hugs. Mwah, mwah. Mr. Biggles too sends his love. Say hello, you little bastard.
Malikova holds up a small fishbowl to the camera. A distinctly nervous-looking black goldfish floats amid a storm of pink pebbles and too much fish food before being whisked out of shot.
So, update on the Siege of Heimdall. Here goes. The less-than-super-turbo-awesome team of Her Majesty Queen Hannah of House Donnelly, first of her name, and my cuz, has joined forces with Chief Grant from Engineering. You know that crusty old f***er with the insane eyebrows? Yeah. That one. Anyway, Krusty Man has given me deets on a command-level backdoor he had built into the system for emergencies such as this. And if they expected a flying kick to the unmentionables from a covert ops team belonging to another corp, why the f*** didn't these moops have a bigger sec team is what I say.
Ella pauses to drag aside her O2 mask, take another gulp of Mount Rushmore.
This stuff tastes like bubblegum mixed with cough meds. You ever notice that?
She squints at the label.
Recommend no more than 2 cans within a 24-hour...
Tossing the empty can over her shoulder, she continues.
So, anyway, the BT Decker has outbound comms under lock and key. But I figure, if I make a big noise trying to blast my way into the defense grid system, I might be able to fool them into thinking I'm looking to axe their big bad assault fleet when it arrives. In meantime, I use this channel the Chief Areno showed me to backdoor a tight band beam and warn the Hypatia that some capital T is headed right up their alley. Evil genius, right here, bitch. I had to straight-up cook the air vent control systems when I opened up the station, but I can't do anything slash and burn this time. We gonna need these comms to get word out to the core. So I gotta creep careful-like. Full frontal assault on the DGS and full ninja style into waypoint comms, which hopefully they won't even see with all the noise I make at the front gate. Things are going pretty bad for the BT goons, but their Decker is still primo. I caught her handle trawling her logs, and get this. She calls herself Mantis. Spider versus bug. I know, right? I mean, who names themselves after a bug? Seriously.
Ella pops another can, takes a sip, drags her mask back on. As she taps out lightning-quick commands onto her keyboards, the computer at her back spits out an ominous hum, diodes switching from quiet green to a burning, furious red.
Anyway, I gotta get stomping. Wish me luck, Sugar Pants. Love you, miss you, bye!
System alert. System alert. Attempted breach, DGS control. Codec 284. Cascade 93P24G. Interdictor 03923. Killer 92392. Code worm 23PKN. Triad 2938. Initiating countermeasures. Initiating. DGS countermeasures activated. Tripwire 9308. Succubus 409. Aegis 03RT. Phantom 23PK. Dial 129383. Labyrinth 932R0. System alert. Attempted breach. DGS control. Incursion countered. Flatline. Alert 0. Warning. Warning. Code ref 92847. Heimcom. Delete subdirectory 9384. Command 2983991. Initiate drive 09042. Incursion complete. Alert 0. System normal.
Communication intercept from WUC Jump Station Heimdall 524-099-847 to Science Vessel Hypatia. Incept 08-16-75.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. This is Ella Malikova aboard Jump Station Heimdall calling Wallace-Ulanov Consortium, Science Vessel Hypatia. Command clearance Zulu 1 Alpha Niner 25 Bravo Helix 7701. Hypatia, please respond. Okay, listen up, kittens. Good news. We know about the attack on the Carenza system, and we got your back, Hypatia. Bad news. Jump Station Heimdall is under hostile control. At approximately 1800 hours on August 15, the station was seized by a goon squad belonging to Baytech Industries. Said goons are to hold position until a drone fleet designated Kennedy arrives at Heimdall, jumps through the wormhole to the Carenza system, and wipes out both Hypatia and any survivors on the Carenza colony. Most folks aboard Heimdall are locked down or KO'd, and the station commander's dead. But there's a few of us still up and about, including the chief of engineering, Isaac Grant, and we're doing our best to monkey wrench these fuckers and get word out to the core systems about what's happening here. We need to coordinate with you, kittens, about how exactly we're going to go about it. People you can trust. Chief Isaac Grant, Hannah Donnelly, daughter of the station commander, Nicholas Malikov, my cousin, and yours truly, Ella Malikova. Anyone else hits you on comms, they are not legit. I'm sending you a command-level security clearance package with this transmission, provided to me by Chief Grant, to prove I'm on the level. He says your captain should know what to do with it. Grant's also asking for news about his wife, daughter, and niece. Apparently their names are Helena, Katie, and Asha. Hit us back on tightband to the CC ident only when you get this, Hypatia.
And watch your asses out there. Heimdall, out.
Surveillance footage summary prepared by Analyst ID 7213.
This footage is a mixed bag taken from cockpit cams on the Betty Boop and some exterior cams on the Heimdall station, docking camp, defense grid turret, that kind of thing. The quality is pretty bad on some shots, so I can't really...
File ILL98HI. Deletion initiated by Analyst ID 0148. Deletion status complete. No. Much as Analyst ID 7213 can be relied upon to transcribe murders in lavatory stalls or the executions of innocent plastic birds, this quite unthinkable, almost incomprehensible moment cannot be left to his questionable narrative talents. It would be irresponsible to allow it. One must observe very closely, you see, because this nativity of impossibility error begins, as all things do, very small. Much like the grav rail traversing its innards, Jump Station Heimdall is an endless ring, a serpent chasing its own tail around a seven-way junction in space-time. The wormhole itself is a hydra, twisting through the belly of hyperspace. Thrusting its heads through the universe's skin at seemingly random points. Corwin, Hawking, Carenza, Ptolemy, Sane, Tyson, and here. It trembles on the edge of slumber, a sleeping giant, ready to wake to a dawn song of hyper-mathematical notes. And about its lip, skimming on a cushion of magnetics and ionized thrust, flies our unlikely hero, Nicholas Abram Malikoff. His eyes are on the reactor sector, the Golgotha he must climb to fend off the murderers in his home, save the Hypatia and all aboard her, people he has never met, no matter the cost. His Thermopylae. The shuttle, Betty Boop, skirts the inside of Heimdall's endless circumference, steady hands keeping it close to the station's skin, all the better to evade detection by the Heimdall defense grid. Were the wormhole active, the shuttle would be cruising at the precise point where the vortex cuts across the quantum manipulators in the station's ring, bisecting the Betty Boop neatly, in the fraction of a second before it traversed the bridge in a kaleidoscope of color, light, movement, sound, reappearing instantaneously at a point billions of light years from this one. But the wormhole is not active. Not for another 57 seconds. Now, children, watch closely. Hold your breath. Listen, and I will show you the components of calamity. 1. A computer virus, a self-replicating intruder in the Heimdall megacomputer, hopelessly entwined with audio directories, core processors, and redundancies that, when deconstructed to simple binary patterns, represents a remarkable ratio of integers.
Warning. Wormhole activation in T-minus 42 seconds.
2. a rod of processed hermium, sent drifting from the hands of Private Gabriel Moreno, caught now on the boop's starboard intakes. An iceberg of exotic matter, with only its tip protruding above this waterline.
Warning. Wormhole activation in T-minus 26 seconds.
3. A deactivated safety buffer within vortex control. Taken offline during standard maintenance procedures on the Heimdall grid, and, in all the excitement of the past 21 hours, left inert.
Warning. Wormhole activation in T-minus 17 seconds.
4. A cup of coffee. Spilled 6 days ago during a romantic interlude in the server rooms between two junior engineers of Chief Isaac Grant's staff. The contents dripping, unnoticed, through the vortex surge buffers, frying them amid the breathless sighs.
Warning. Wormhole activation in T-minus 8 seconds.
5. And last, a boy. Just a simple boy. Just a simple boy.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Nicholas Malikov, civilian. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Date, 08-1675. Timestamp, 15-11 hours.
Nick M. Hey, Ines. How you doing?
Hannah D. Tired, sweaty. This is hard work. I need a vacation. And a shower. Not a word.
Yeah. Listen, I was thinking.
OMG, no.
Oh, hearty har. I was thinking, and I realize now might not be the time and all, but I was thinking when this is over, maybe you might want to go out somewhere? Dinner? Or coffee? Or something?
Nick,
Heimdall Introversal System Log. System, online. Caution, caution. Transversal sequences initiated. Wormhole activation commencing in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The system surges. The giant awakens. Components intersect in twin shears, star bright light. The integers, the failures, the matter, the boy. Hold your breath. Listen.
Radio Transmission, Baytech Audit Team, Secure Channel 642. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander. Bianca Mercury Silva, Corporal, Engineer. Date, 08-1675. Timestamp, 15-12 hours.
Mercury, what the fuck was that?
Jesus, I don't know. Some kind of hyperspatial surge. Sensors are going crazy.
Are we all right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
You think so? What the f*** does that mean?
It means I think so. Systems all look good. Some of the surge buffers are down, but we've got green lights on hull integrity, spatials, vortex control. And we're getting pingbacks from the comms at the Carenza waypoint. Transversal bridge is established. Wormhole is active and stable. Integrity 100%. Who's your mommy, Travis?
So So what the hell caused that surge? I've never seen anything like it.
Unknown. Maybe that kid out there in his f***ing shuttle hit something. But we're okay. Wormhole is good. We're good, Travis.
We're nowhere near good while that little is flying about out there.
DGS has a signal on him, headed clockwise along the inner ring. He's slowing thrust. Looks like he's preparing to dock.
Where? What's his target?
Jesus, Travis. He's headed to the reactor.
Briefing note. Meanwhile, turns out the Baytech team members weren't the only ones noticing Heimdall's own personal Big Bang.
Palmpad IM, D2D Network. Participants, Nicholas Malikoff, civilian. Hannah Donnelly, civilian. Ella Malikova, civilian. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 15-12 hours.
Pauchuk. What the f*** was that?
Hannah D., did the Earth move for you too? Everyone alive?
Power surge. System cycling. Give me a sec. I think they just brought the wormhole back online.
I'm nearly there. Nick, check in.
Sure.
Cuz? You okay?
F*** me. They just turned the wormhole back on.
Is there an echo in here or what?
Are you hurt?
Jesus, don't think so. That was crazy. Big lights, pins and needles, hands still shaking.
Be careful heading when you dock. They might be near the reactor if they turned it on. Are you sure you're okay? How many fingers am I holding up?
Uh-oh, counting.
Think I'm okay. Shuttle systems all surged and dropped out. Coming back online now. Me, that felt weird. Like someone threw a rainbow at my head.
Sounds like you went across the wormhole horizon, but that makes no sense. If you did, we'd have no comms on you. Can you still see Heimdall?
You mean this giant fucking space station in front of me?
Yeah, that one.
I'll take a look at you in person in a minute. Shuttle's still safe to dock, you think?
Think so. Buffers handled the surge. Seem okay.
Damn! Anansi blew all its primary surge protection, too. Down to secondaries. Good news is I broke through their ice on comms. Still can't send anything through to the core, but I did manage to transmit through the Carenza waypoint. You may commence singing my praises in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. F*** you, cuz.
I appreciate you, Ella. You are quick-witted and as beautiful as you are deadly. Nick's just jealous of our love. Too far?
It's a damn sight better than crickets, let me tell you.
Aw, hugs?
So look, this surge has me crawly. I'm going to hook your palm pads into the comms system. Should be a new icon on your user interface. It's just in case Anansi gets cooked or this BT Decker comes back with the big guns and ties me up again. So you kids can reply to Hypatia if they call, presuming they're still out there and never answer. Chill?
Sounds good. Do it. And Nick, can you radio the chief and let him know we got a signal out? He's got my headset.
Indeed.
Now to stop the drone fleet getting through to say hello. Can't type while sneaking. Anything else?
I have a headache.
Get thee to the reactor core and maybe someone will kiss it better.
Oh my god, on my way.
Radio transmission, Baytech audit team, secure channel 112. Participants, Travis Cerberus Falk, Lieutenant, Team Commander, Fleur Callie Russo, Sergeant, Alpha Squad Leader, Abby Nightingale O'Neill, Corporal, Medic, Noxos Two-Time Antonio, Private, Communications, Marta Eden Alievi, Private, Logistics, Samuel Rapier Maginot, Infiltrator. Date, 08-16-75. Timestamp, 15-14 hours.
Audit team personnel, audit team personnel. This is a code black. Lock any civvies you're babysitting up tight and listen well. I want all team members not actively engaged in engineering or comtech operations to the reactor area in 10 minutes. Hostile locals on site. Repeat, hostile locals on site. We are to terminate with extreme prejudice. Be advised, we also potentially have an